You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
The Around the NFL Podcast. What the hell's going on out here? Seriously, what the hell?
From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, it's Around the NFL. I am Dan Hansis. Heroes here, Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler. Yes, we are back. Kind of. And we plan to do two shows this week, but things changed. It's been a tough week. Not at total liberty to get into all the specifics, but please consult our social media profiles for more on what has been a very tough week for the podcast. And you know, the show is no stranger to adversity, and we will regroup and march on. We always have. And I would say the only request I have for the listeners is just bear with us as we figure things out. And other than that, Mark, how was the play?
The Mr. play? Sessler. Which play?
Little Lincoln ref. Come on.
Little Lincoln ref? Oh. Come on, bud. Little Lincoln ref. Little Ford Theater
bit. You look like
you're
dressed for like a Lincoln play in the 1800s.
It is the off season, Mark. We do not need the suit jacket at this juncture.
I think, you know, if we want to reference, first of all, the play was great, memorable. if we want to reference the stylings of our friend Chris Wessling, that a lot of times when you dress up, it's because there's a dearth of clean clothing in the dress down scenario. And
we're not
buying that. You always wear the jacket. Even at home you wear
it. Yeah, but because it's stationed in
you
our
look
locker.
Great.
It's stationed
you look
in
clean.
Our locker downstairs. So I come in like a sweat or a t-shirt and then change into this, then change back out.
Here's the difference. And Chris Wessling, we're gonna hear from Wes in a second.
I love that.
When Wes said it, it was very much true because Wes would, you know, 5 out of 6 days, or like say if we did a show 3 times or in the office 5 days a week, 4 out of the days he'd be wearing like an NFL Network polo and jeans, maybe a pre-LaKeisha. And then all of a sudden he would show up in like a button-down shirt with a pullover sweater and khakis and brown dress shoes. And it'd be just so like, what is going on? He'd be like, I literally don't have any other clothes. They're all dirty. He was like, I buy it.
Hold on.
I don't know if I buy your.
No, so you're saying my laundry. You are estimating that my laundry situation is untrue. Come investigate my laundry firsthand, and you'll see that there are truisms attached to what I've said.
As a longtime critic of men's fashion, I think you are being the change you want to see in the world, and I respect it. I just
that's a nice bridge building attempt, Greg. I appreciate that.
Yes. So, yeah. Weird week, but the NFL schedule marches on. The NFL schedule literally was released on Thursday, and we're gonna dig into it in our lone show this week. Everything from primetime games to holiday games to international games. Highlight, Greggy, some team schedules that caught your eye, perhaps.
Okay.
But before we dig in, we'll start with week 1, just for fun. I would like to hear from the great, late Chris Wessling, who always hated this Absolutely. Time of year. It is the last league tent pole event, or the first, depending how you look at it. And he was never really about it. I always kind of agreed with him, but since he's been gone, there's been something about this particular thing that I agree with even more. Here is Chris, and Eric behind the scenes did a great job digging it up, speaking on his general issues with people getting overly into this time of year.
You want to race to the schedule and find out your road trips, plan all that, put a W and L next to every team on your schedule. I get all of that. Just don't ask me to analyze it 5 months. There's no analysis necessary. Just enjoy the schedule being released.
I miss Wes this week. And I love hearing his voice, and I agree 100%.
This was always the time of year. And it used to be before the draft, actually. So it almost was like interrupting draft season. But Wes would hate all the secrecy that we'd have to have with the schedule. We would black out the podcast studio so no one in the building could hear it. And he would just think this was the biggest colossal waste of time. But the NFL smartly realized, actually, we could blow out that colossal waste of time more after the draft and kind of extend the season a couple more weeks. And I'm with Wes, though. The first thing I did looking at the schedule, the only thing I really cared about personally was are the Rams playing on Thursday or Monday night? Because it's very hard to take my family to a game on a Sunday. And at this point, that's my daughter's favorite thing to do in the world is to go to a Rams game. And I didn't deliver that for her last year. And we got a Thursday nighter, December 21st.
Excellent. Is your daughter equally flummoxed by the Rams' general game plan
she
in terms of the franchise's direction?
She asked me, yes. She talks about Jalen Ramsey often. She doesn't understand it, and it's hard to explain salary cap considerations and that there really is no explanation, that it's not a
Daddy, what's the long-range plan with Matthew Stafford given the rest of the roster needs?
I don't think it's going to be very long-range. I mean, I think
it's like 11
thing,
now.
The thing that Wes mentioned that makes sense is, like, if you're a fan, because I was hanging out with a Steelers fan yesterday, and the minute, like, the schedule came out, it was like, bang, planning trip to Las Vegas for week 3. Like, that makes sense.
Yes.
Wes mentioned that. But I always loved his take on this because analyzing it, and we're about to go do that, so it's not like turn off the show. We're going to do a great job with it. But, like, why not stare
at... You can, if you want.
I mean, why not stare at, like, a farmer's almanac that tells you it's going to be a nice season to grow corn in 2029? Well, what if your village is bombed by invaders in 2026? Right. It's, like, that unpredictable where we're going to be in week 17 or 18, but we're about to tell you why all that matters.
Well, it's like Kyle Shanahan says, you know, there's no guarantee we even make it to Sunday.
I find it
much less week 17,
sure.
Especially a fool's errand to predict like the easy part of the schedule because you never know like what teams will rise up and be frisky or even good. You kind of I feel a little more comfortable looking at a schedule and saying, oh, this is going to be a difficult stretch based on certain superpowers that you don't expect to fall off.
Or this will be entertaining, yeah. Especially early. It's like I'm willing to guess, although I guess injuries happen, that the Patrick Mahomes Chiefs will provide me entertainment and be in some big situations this year.
Which is a nice seg, Greggy, to Thursday, September 7th, 2023, for week 1. Let's kind of go through it here. We'll start with the primetime games. And shout out to the team of around the NFL, the Detroit Lions, who... Team of ATL. Who turned last season's feel-good story, a season that ended with a winning record, correct?
Correct.
And no playoff, just missed the playoffs, but a winning record, 9-8, into a Thursday night opener showcase on the road in Arrowhead against the defending champion Chiefs. That's Thursday night football. Pretty saucy. I got to say, Greg, I was a little surprised, as much as we love the Lions, that they were the team that was selected there to be the opener, which is kind of hallowed ground for the people that plan this stuff at 3:45.
I was shocked. I mean, basically, the NFL is deciding not to burn the Bengals or the Bills or these games that feel, or the Eagles for that matter, these games that feel titanic in terms of AFC playoff seeding, and then a Super Bowl rematch is really unique.
Talk about that.
Get that. They decide, and I like that. I like that they save those games until the end of the season. So, okay, everyone's going to watch kickoff anyways. Let's put in everyone's favorite dad, Dan Campbell. And, by the way, NBC, maybe don't mention all those Lions that were suspended for gambling.
in the offseason.
I mean, it, like if you look at their home schedule.
They can ask that.
Well, I mean, I was a little surprised at that because that was an embarrassing story for the NFL to put that team
by September, nobody will be.
No one's going to. I mean, now we're talking about it. People have forgotten about it.
I have no idea what Greg's talking about.
Jameson Williams.
I mean, I think like there weren't a lot of options other than Bills or Bengals if you pick who Kansas City played at home. But it totally threw me, and in a wonderful way, because it's like we were on to the Lions. I think a lot of people think they're going to be fun and frisky, but it's a team that has been essentially shielded from the public eye outside of mostly embarrassing Thanksgiving games for eons. And it's like they're recognizing that this is a team on the brink. It's a bit of a risk because part of me thinks, well, it's the Chiefs. It could be 40-10, but if we get the version of the Lions we had last year, you trust them to keep it kind of frisky, and it's a big spot for Jared Goff.
It's two of the top five offenses by many metrics in the league last year. You expect points, and you hope for points. It could go sideways. Absolutely. That's like a big assignment for Campbell, and it's still a young roster.
And a much improved defense. And in that week one game, sometimes a kickoff game is a total snoozer, and you're just still so happy with it. Like I'm thinking of the last kickoff game we did with Chris. You know, that was Texans Chiefs. We were at Chris's house for that. And it was like Clyde Edwards-Helaire had a halfway decent. It could not have been a bigger snoozer, but everyone's happy because football's back.
So that's Thursday night. And by the way, I think the power of Hard Knocks, as much as people will sometimes denigrate it at this stage, check it out. Check it out. The Lions, that put them on the national radar.
There is nothing like f***ing winning, man. Yeah. There is nothing like winning. And I'm telling you right now, it doesn't matter if it's freaking dominoes, it's spades, it's Blu-ray, it's croquet, it's f***ing chess, it's preseason, ass kicking. It does not matter, man. Winning is winning. And it feels good, man.
So when George McCaskey of the Bears is openly shooting down the idea of being on Hard Knocks, look what happened to the Lions.
And you know,
I'm drawing a direct line.
Right. You could suggest that your and Colleen's coverage of that Hard Knocks journey potentially led to this. Yeah. So maybe the Lions, you know, should think of you to some degree.
McCaskey does not know what Blu-ray is, by the way.
Sunday night football, week one, Dallas Cowboys at New York Giants. And I know, speaking of Wes again, there might be some deep sighing there. Like, how many times does America need to watch a spotlight game between the Cowboys and Giants? But
twice,
I'm here
twice
for
a year. I don't think he's alone in that process.
Twice a year, and very often in this kickoff spot. It's got to be at least three or four times they've had a primetime week one game.
And then on Monday Night Football, another New York team, the Jets? Oh, the Jets, who, as expected, getting a lot of primetime love in this schedule, and we'll get to them in a little bit. But they got Bills at Jets opening up the season on the – shoot, 2023. We'll just call it the anniversary of 9/11. So they'll have that big game in a primetime spot, which is wild. Wild.
I also like that they don't do the doubleheader week one, but the doubleheader's not gone. The Monday night doubleheader for the second straight year is part of the week two coverage.
And week three.
And Bills Jets, to my – what I really want to say was, like, that deserves its own spotlight. I don't like it when it gets cut up for a big game.
Week two and week three. And then week – like, way down the road, they have the old weeks – I think it's week 14 – they have the double Monday night football starting at the same time scenario, which to me is unpleasant, but I understand that they just want to simply fill our lives all the time with games nonstop.
You got to be a modern man in a world that's moving very quickly. You got to have two screens
Absolutely.
Going. You got to be computing everything. Yeah. You have to have your socials open and be interacting with society as well.
I'll need that Trank dart.
Is that like an experiment to, instead of flex teams, you just put two games on at the same time late in the season? It's like one of the two.
I think the schedule anchors probably just messed up, and they're like, just put two of that. Let's do, just for fun, the rest of week one, like we do during the season and all our preview shows. Let's do a mini mock draft here of week one. Greg, you won the title last year. You got the strap. Why don't you make your first pick?
That's goddamn right. I'm going to take Dolphins Chargers. I don't know why, but I really want to see this Dolphins team like play again. Shortly, we got the Tua Herbert thing. We got the Jalen Ramsey, Vic Fangio thing.
Fangio.
That's my game.
Yes, I would go with. Ooh, interesting.
The top two to me were at the same time. That was a tough choice.
I guess Dan, you're next because you came in second in the.
Yes,
in the
I was the silver medalist. You know, just for fun, I do want to see the opening of the Jordan Love era against Justin Fields and the improving Chicago Bears. it's a bit of a reach, but I got to be honest with you. Like, I didn't see anything that is a home run pick two for me, and I am legitimately kind of fascinated by both of those teams.
I agree. Where they're going. I take it back.
I love this.
I'm
the
glad
third
you took
pick.
It back, Greg. Thanks.
How about this? The defending NFC champion Eagles going into New England, where they're going to have, like, celebrate Tom Brady Day, which, you know, brings a lot of thorny potential. You know, he left in a strange way, but that stadium's going to be bonkers, absolutely lathered up. And
especially if Tom Brady buys the Raiders or something, whatever that, the latest, that, like,
yeah,
ridiculous
that's
report.
That's a little bit of a sideways approach to it, but kind of a weird place for the Eagles to start their season. And I, you know, I think New England's sort of a middle of the pack team, obviously, but I don't love that for Philly. And their schedule in general is a little thorny, so it gets off to a rough start.
Check out how Bill O'Brien reinvents the Patriots offense. Pinch me.
So I think it seems like an obvious point to make, but it's probably a bad sign that the number one thing about, like, schedule release is Robert Kraft being so excited that Tom would come visit the stadium, and then they release their schedule release video, and it's all a bunch of retired Patriots players in a retirement home, including Devin McCourty. And it's like, don't think about the actual team that's playing football anymore. Let's just think about, like, past glory. That's pretty much our main focus.
That's where they're at.
They're used to it. All right, so let's move on. That's good.
That's it? That's the top?
I mean, do you want to keep going?
No, I guess that's fine.
Is there another – throw out one more game that really interests you. Greggy.
Well, I want to see the start of the Anthony Richardson era, and I think he's going to be starting week one against the Jags. I know that might be drafted a little later. Week one is my favorite week of the season. This is the best week of the season.
It's fun.
I like this. Niners-Steelers. I want to see who's playing quarterback for San Francisco. I kind of think the whole year two of Kenny Pickett, it's in Pittsburgh. Weird start for the Niners. It could be Trey Lance. Could be Brock Purdy.
Is it weird, Mark, that you're – the coach that you love more than any coach, Kyle Shanahan, is gassing up the Darnold hive now, calling him a franchise.
I saw you tweeting about that, and I think for you it's a nice fever dream. It's a failed experiment that I – like, if Sam Darnold starts more than three games for that
gasser up,
they are in big trouble.
Fully let it.
It's – May is the best time of year for Sam Darnold.
primetime games. Four teams have six primetime games. Kansas City, Buffalo, Dallas, Chargers. That's a little rich for me.
I would agree.
The Chargers getting that many primetime games, but whatever. The Packers, Raiders, Giants, Jets, Eagles, Vikings, and Niners all have five primetime games. This is, by the way, good info from the NFL research department, who do killer things.
Right, but that doesn't even count, like, that Black Friday game, for instance, for the Jets, or the Thanksgiving game.
Spotlight.
You have some spotlight
right.
games that are not.
The Bills and Patriots will each play. This is, with all due respect, Greggy, the Pats continue to get so much primetime love. The Bills and Patriots will each play three straight primetime games, which is interesting.
And it's weeks 14 through 16. And
we could flex some of that out if there's stink
only
bomb.
The Monday night game, because the other ones are NFL Network and Thursday night. I did notice, though, they only had one Sunday night game, Dan, and that's the difference, and that's week two. And that's, to me, very much a sign of, like, Robert Kraft has sway with the broadcasters. But they're like, we got to get the Patriots their one Sunday night game to keep them happy, but we're going to get it out of the way early before they potentially.
You know what is offensive about this? Like, the prime time alone, I get these other island games. You're giving the Raiders five primetime games. They could be an ugly operation to begin with. You're giving the Vikings five. I'm not sold on the Vikings in general, and the Bengals aren't even on this list.
That's a good
Bengals
point.
Bengals aren't even on this list. They have four. That's not the worst, but it's like, how on earth are the Bengals have been recognized more than any other season in a long, long time as a team that's getting a lot of these games. They have four primetime and a couple other things happening here and there. But how are they not? How do the Chargers have six? The Raiders have five. The Vikings have five. And we don't know who the Packers are, and you're giving the Bengals four.
I have a theory, because the league is always trying to push the product, that they are very much in conjunction with the Chargers themselves, trying to get the Chargers to really get a foothold right here in L.A., and they see a Justin Herbert as a superstar quarterback. They want the Chargers to be a thing. And sometimes when, like, someone's really trying hard to make something a thing, there will be football fans or analysts that are like, whoa. Like, it makes you actually be like, repel the thing even more. Like, don't make them a thing. The Raiders getting a lot of primetime love, that makes sense to me because they're a great vibe to me. They're a great home stadium experience in primetime. I like the Raiders, even though I'm not a Raiders fan, just watching them. To me, they're pretty good theater, so I'm not as
But I would also argue that that's, hey, we've just put out this massive effort to create this incredible new stadium in a new venue.
I think that's part of it.
And it's not about how good your team is.
They're not using it for the Rams much in primetime, so you got to use the Chargers. The Rams, who did win a Super Bowl only a year ago, and they're in primetime twice. Neither one of them is on NBC, which to me is like the number one spot where they put the teams. Part of it is, and we'll get to it later, is just the Chargers' schedule. The Wests play the Easts, and the Easts are where all the juice is going into this season. They're the two best divisions. They play each other, but they also play the two West teams. So there's just like a lot of spicy Chargers, out of division matchup.
That's true.
So I think that's part of it.
Bye weeks. See, this is some of the stuff that's more interesting to me in terms of trying to figure out trajectory and things. There's always teams that get banged with a bye week that's too early. This year, the first bye week is week 5. The Browns, Bucks, Chargers, Seahawks have the early bye. The last bye is week 14, which is a little too late. Cardinals and Commanders.
The Cardinals are the one team out of 32 that I'm not looking forward to in week 1. Other than that, I'm intrigued enough. Like, at some point,
who do they have in
teams
week 1?
Fall off. They have the Commanders, who I still – that's not going to be drafted high. Whoa. But I am curious to watch.
That's a little –
I'm curious. The Commanders, I think, could be kind of interesting.
That's got Nick Shook written all over it.
They've got a lot of offensive firepower, and I'm curious about Howell, but that's not a great
– I hate these. These teams getting stuck with the – it's the Browns, Chargers, Seahawks, and Bucks. Week 5 bye, I think, is good for a team if you had like a rookie quarterback and it's like, let's reorganize, let's see what we've done over the first month or so and get that extra time to come back out firing. But, I mean, the Chargers, like, this is a team that's dealt with injuries year after year. They're getting a week 5 bye. That stinks.
All right, let's take a quick break and we will continue to dig in upon our return.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs...
Yeah, like check out these hair. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Try to act like they, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got it. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Do you think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
All right, we're back. Mark, something that jumps out to you upon the release of the 2023 NFL schedule.
Well, Greg mentioned it that the AFC East has the NFC East, and it's just like, we're a year removed, and I mean, I think months removed, if you haven't really been paying attention to what's happening to the Jets, the Dolphins, and even to some degree the Patriots, like, it's easy just to look at the Buffalo Bills as, well, they're going to win 13 games, and we're going to see them 14 times. They have 10 games this year against last year's playoff teams, including both Super Bowl teams. One of their home games is a Jaguars game in London. They play four of their final six on the road to end the season, and three of the road games are against the Jets. That's going to be thorny. Obviously, they play one game against the Jets on the road, but they get the Bengals on the road and the Chiefs on the road. And if I just look at last year's Bills team, I mean, they went through so much adversity, and you found out that Josh Allen was this absolutely wonderful leader, and the whole team to me is really, they're a true team. But, I mean, they're beginning to put right through the crucible all over again, and I think their schedule speaks to me as a team that's going to fall off a little bit in terms of where they'll be in the seeding in the end in the AFC. It's about as tough as a slate as Sean McDermott could have dreamt up.
Wait, so that Tottenham game is a Bills home game?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Well, because they're not making the Jaguars take two home games for that.
Right, and we haven't taped since they announced the international.
Yeah, you want to go through those?
Games, sure.
All right, let's go through the international slate. By the way, shout out. I was actually did a little FaceTime because phone calls with Henry Hodgson aren't enough to see that beautiful.
Well, you got to get the folks
broad, man.
Yeah.
In HD is what it's all about. We were catching up, and he is now the general manager, and longtime listeners know Henry Hodgson as Handsome Hank from the Sheck days, many appearances on our show. Now is the general manager of the UK NFL experience, and he was all over television and radio in England for the schedule release, which is nice.
I mean, they don't mess around. I saw the clip on Sky Sports where they got the whole Tottenham, you know, Hotspur Stadium's empty, and they put it up on the big screen, and they got Henry there, and then they do a roulette wheel to reveal teams.
Do it.
Anyway. I think, like, if you're, like, men would enjoy watching Henry orate, like, women would enjoy watching Henry speak about anything.
Sure.
Like, he's a full audience, full crowd, adult child pleaser.
He's broad.
Broad appeal.
No, physically broad.
Oh, a broad
shoulders.
Man.
You can put a lot on his shoulders.
He fills out the television.
Both physically
well.
And professionally.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
Anyway, international games. The NFL will host five regular season games outside the U.S., three in London, two in Germany. I guess the Estadio Azteca in Mexico is still undergoing construction, I would guess, because that's a great scene. And
They're getting ready for the World Cup.
That won't be involved, but I'm sure it will be down the line. So week four, and a big headline coming out of this, the Jags, who have forever been connected to London, ownership is very, they have a very, a vision that has been unshakable to make the Jaguars. I think the dream, I don't even think, Shad Khan wants the Jaguars to be the home team of England. That's his goal.
There is this little side thing. I don't think it's going to morph into more, but they may not be able to play in their actual stadium down the road a bit because of repairs for a stretch, almost two seasons. So
Wembley.
It's like,
he owns Wembley, right, at this point?
Well, they're Jacksonville Stadium. So
right.
It's like,
is there issues with the chlorine tank there?
I will report back on what the issues are.
So the Jags this year have taken it to the next level and are now playing two games in England. One a home game, one designated a road game. Falcons versus Jaguars kicks off the international games in week four from Wembley. And then in week five, so the Jags just stick around. Atlanta gets on the plane. We saw Atlanta play the Jets a couple years ago. So the Falcons obviously like this scene as well. The Falcons go home. The Jags stick around in London and then play the Bills at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. The Big Tot.
Big Toddy.
The Hot Toddy. Okay, hot toddy. So Wembley 1 week, Hot Toddy the next.
So you got Jags back-to-back, and you got Josh Allen in England, which is very nice. Shout-out, by the way, to our overseas listeners in the UK and Ireland and Scotland. Scotland is part of the UK, correct?
He's looking at Greg for that answer.
Yeah.
I think it's
I believe
not.
It is.
Actually, it
it's
is.
Not?
It is. I'm not answering. I don't know.
Yeah. And only part
Germany.
Of Germany, only part of Ireland. But, you know, it's more that, you know, we love all of our listeners overseas. Australia. How about you?
Shout out to Australia.
Iceland.
Germany.
Scotland, by the way.
The Hague, the Netherlands.
Confirm that Scotland is part of the United Kingdom.
And Ireland very much not part, but Northern Ireland is. Anyway, we know.
Sort of.
Except for Scotland. We weren't
learning.
Sure about that. Anyway, let's see. Ravens versus Titans, week six from the Hot Toddy. And then week nine, we head to Germany. Dolphins versus Chiefs, Hamina, 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 week nine from Frankfurt Stadium. And then Colts versus Pats, week 10, also from the Big Frank.
Deutsche Bank Park. So it'll be a different stadium than a year ago, but it'll be, I suspect, an amazing atmosphere. That used to be one of the best rivalries in league. Colts, Pats, not as much juice, but to get Dolphins, Chiefs in Kansas City, I mean in Frankfurt, to me, that's one of the like games I'm most looking forward to this season, just because you can't imagine a scenario where Tyreek Hill going against his former team. And it's almost a shame that it's not happening in Kansas City. But you can't imagine a scenario where that thing is not in the 30s or the 40s and not like a really important, entertaining game. So they're not messing around. Those are NFL network games.
Yeah, I think in general, if you look back to half a decade ago, and frankly, like, you know, Handsome Hank has something to do with this, the games, the teams have gotten better. Like, you've got star quarterbacks. You've got Patrick Mahomes. You've got Josh Allen. The Ravens with Lamar Jackson. And frankly, it really just helps that the Jacksonville Jaguars are intriguing. And I you know, this is the first time in history where a team stayed there 2 weeks in a row. I want to see a think piece about what's it like for, I think coaches in general don't love the concept of having to pick up camp and go somewhere else and do everything somewhere else. And I mean, the Jaguars are more practiced at that than others, but Doug Peterson's, you know, right, not done it five times in a row. So how do you prepare for the Bills in London in a completely different environment than your home base? That intrigues me for some reason.
You would think it'd great be an question. Advantage, but we go there for a week, and you know, obviously we work at a level that NFL players can't comprehend. But yeah. I would say,
do we? I mean, I feel like we spend half the time at like the hotel bar there. I mean, it's like,
well, yeah, you know,
we'll edit that.
It's sarcasm.
Yeah. Sure.
They at the end of that week, I feel like we're ready to go home. Our great friend Rachel Bonetta, I felt like she was there for 2 weeks. By the end of that second week, you know, you might be running out of gas. So maybe it's a disadvantage for the Jaguars.
Yeah, we'll see.
Good way to look at it. Good opposing view. Anyway,
Dan does not care.
This is the part.
It's time to pivot.
Yeah, this is the part that Wes was talking about. What are we talking about?
I don't care.
Let's move back to the homeland. Thanksgiving games. All right, here's the slate. Packers at Lions, the customary slot for those teams. Well, it's not always the Packers, right, against the Lions, but thank God the Lions are now a highly compelling team and hopefully will remain that way. So you get the Jordan Love experience. The Packers are a total unknown, so we won't know what's going on, but we'll have a much better idea where they're at by Thanksgiving. And remember, the season doesn't start till after Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
The Commanders at Cowboys in the middle game. That's a big old meh for me.
We'll see where the Commanders are. I'm with you.
Yeah, I mean, who could be? If Sam Howell doesn't work, are we getting Jake Brisket on?
No, you could have done a lot there with the Cowboys.
That's very often the two matchups, Packers, Lions, and Commanders, Cowboys. I'll always remember RG3's rookie season sort of
lighting up Dallas.
Yeah.
And then the game that is always a different teams is 49ers. There's the late game, the NBC game. 49ers at Seahawks, an NFC West tilt, and a damn good one. So that's
and they've done that before. That's been a matchup before. I mean, I love that.
Excellent. And that is, just for a little background, that's the 11th time Washington and Dallas play. Cowboys have won 8 of 2, and the Seahawks and Niners are playing on Thanksgiving for the first time since they played each other on Thanksgiving. Phil, in the year, it was a 19-3 Seahawks win. Sounds boring.
2014.
Got it.
Wait, really?
He got it. A bang. Good job, Greggy.
That was a totally random
match. I went to your home, I believe, during that game.
I believe probably the Tito's was probably flown at that point. So it's a hazy memory.
That's the only time I ever ate macaroni and cheese because your wife prepared it differently than
a grown man who's only eaten macaroni and cheese once in his life.
That was there are three big.
It's not living.
My three favorite Mark Sessler food moments. One.
I know what it is. Number one's got to be.
Number one's most recently.
Yeah. Yeah.
The cheeseburger incident. Mm-hmm. Which is still incredible and shocking. Two is the mac and cheese Thanksgiving incident.
Mm-hmm.
And three is after you and I had a rollicking night out about 10 years ago, and we were on the streets of Culver City, and there was a food truck outside, and we got some street meat burritos. I got the regular, like, meat burrito. You got the veggie, but they were cooking the veggie a burrito like with the meat, and you got some meat, and all of a sudden I couldn't find you, and you were in the bushes, and you had to let go of some of that.
I was wondering where you're going to go with number three, but I do remember that, and it was like $7 or $8 that went totally to the wrong place because there was like a big piece of steak in the middle of it or something.
It banged you in a big spot. Good memories, good memories. Let's see what else. There's a Black Friday game. A Black Friday game. So Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. It's a shopping thing. Amazon.
Not anymore. It is.
Has a massive investment with the NFL to air Thursday Night Football, but they also get the Black Friday game, which is available to everybody. And it will be the Miami Dolphins and New York Jets from the Meadowlands. And Mark, I think you have some opinions to share on this.
I want to take the attitude of I get what's happening here. Like sometimes your company, this is our company, they're just going to do what they do, and you got to roll.
Oh, sometimes that's what happens.
That is what happens sometimes. And they, I get it. We want a game on every day of the week, and if there is an American holiday being celebrated, it will be celebrated with, if not a trio of games, at least one. And on, you know, in what if I wanted to go downtown and stare at cakes in a window on Black Friday, which is like you could go out and be a consumer. Mm-hmm. Well, I will be chained to a chair, and I'm hoping at that point that the Jets, who are on about 27 island games, are actually a viable team at that point. Because if things, my one feeling about this thing in general is a little Jetsy, and we can get into it later if you want, but like if the Browns had this happen a number of times where it's like you have a positive season, they give you 6 island games, and then a nuclear bomb drops on the reality of your team. And the Jets' schedule is a load. It is a rough situation, and so
you don't really have any more Black Friday thoughts. You want to pivot?
I thought
you can do that.
I decided to go down Company Man Avenue here because it's
why you're wearing the jacket today.
What have you been doing on this Black Friday, anyways? I don't remember you cake shopping.
We were so excited. You told us on text yesterday you were going to share
all the things you wouldn't be able to do
on Black Friday because now you have to watch a football game.
I'll send it out on.
And now you're going to get a what if the Jets suck screen we're going to get instead?
Check my.
It's not too late.
Check
we want
my Twitter.
It. We want it. The game will be over by 3 p.m. That gives you a chance.
Check my Twitter by 8 p.m. tonight, and I will send out
for anything that includes our actual real thoughts about life. Check our social media right now.
Exactly.
Let's check out the Jets schedule if that's a natural transition. Listen, the Jets are a major storyline around the league this year. Jets fans are like soaking that in. It's a great feeling. However, we're gonna learn a lot about this team quickly. And to Mark's point, they could be in a lot of trouble if they don't come out of the gates with the offense humming and the defense playing at a high level, because I think they have as tough a schedule as any team in the league out of the gate. You got open up in primetime against the Bills. So that's a team that they've played well against overall, but that is the Bills. That's Josh Allen. That's Sean McDermott. That is a superpower. Week two, they get on a plane and they go to Dallas to face the Cowboys, which the NFC is weaker than the AFC, no doubt, but that is another very difficult matchup for the Jets. They come home, and I think this is like the breather game early on for them. It's the Patriots, and you say, okay, that's doable. Greggy knows as much as anyone. The Jets never beat the Patriots.
Not in 14 years.
They need to. That's something, a beast they're still trying to slay. Even last year, they got swept. And then they welcome in the Chiefs in week four. So as a Jets fan, the schedule does appear, and again, we never know, to soften up in the back nine. But you can't sleep on a potential car crash early on. Get out of it for me, and I have high hopes about this team, as I've said. If I can get out of there, Greg, 2-2, I'm feeling really good about the season. But it's tough. There's no gimmies there.
I think that's the way to look at it. You got the Broncos 2 week 5, and then you got the Eagles again. So you got 6. That's, I know you have one game. You know, the Broncos and the Patriots in there look easier, but they're not total patsies. And before you bye, get to 3-3 there. But that's sort of the case with the entire division. I really think the AFC East division schedule is the toughest. The NFC East isn't far behind, but the fact that out of division, you have to play the AFC West, which I think you're guaranteed that the Chiefs are going to be legit. I think the Chargers will be in the mix, and the other two games are competitive. And then you have to play each other, and you have to play the NFC East. It's just tough. So you're gonna get buried somewhere. The Patriots are the other team, I think, that have the toughest schedule in that division because they don't get to play the Patriots.
Right.
They're the only, and their start is Eagles, Dolphins, both at home, so you get the two home games to start. And you
in a way, they do play the Patriots because the Robert Kraft against Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick
struggle within
Matt
that building
Jones,
at this point. Know. Every week is Patriots against Patriots.
That's very well said. But Eagles, Dolphins, Jets, Cowboys is a pretty tough first four opponents. The second two of those on the road. All four of those teams seem like teams that want to win double-digit games. But that's the thing. In the AFC East, even saying that the Patriots, their over-under will be, what, 7.5 or something like that. I don't know what it is. One of the Bills, Jets, and Dolphins, who are all over the primetime schedules because, to me, they're all fascinating. One of those three teams is more than likely going to have quite a disappointing season. And I don't have a feel. I think they're all really good. I think the Jets deserve to be in the top 8 or 9 of the power rankings. And I think the Dolphins do, too. Mm-hmm. And just, like, something has to give, though, there. That,
I think
that
the
all
Jets
three of
do because we are wanting to watch them. And I mean, I just that could get rough by December, but it was a year ago. Everyone was saying like, oh, the AFC West, probably if not four playoff teams, at least three, two of those teams didn't win more than 6 games. So it's like someone in this division is going to take an excitingly dangerous total dirt nap.
You look at the AFC West with the benefit of hindsight, of course, some of that felt a little artificially inflated. We didn't know what was going to happen with Russell Wilson. That made sense on paper. And the thing with the Raiders, we saw Devontae Adams. We said, oh, now they're going to be good, and that didn't work out. With the East, the AFC East, which is so interesting, is we know the Jets have a top defense, and now Aaron Rodgers is there. So I feel really good about them being a competitive team. The Dolphins, who everyone's kind of sleeping on in this division, the quarterback stays on the field, and now they even have a more competent backup quarterback in Mike White. The Dolphins, I think, absolutely have a chance to win 10 or 11 games.
I mean, their schedule is ugly, like just like these other
sure
teams,
it's, they all the it's open. It's a very, as Greg was saying, like you're playing a lot of top teams, but the Patriots are not going to roll over and go 4-13. I think the Patriots are going to do what they do, and they're going to hang around and be an 8-10 win team. And then I trust the Bills, unless they take a step back, which they could, because the division has caught up to them a little bit here. So this could be a division where they're, if it plays out, where no team bombs out, where the win total could be a little deflated because of the war that's going on in this division, and maybe 11-6 wins it,
or 10-7, but you'd be a more dangerous complete playoff team record right. aside.
And on the flip side, I think the North division in the AFC especially benefits because they get to play the AFC South. It's not easy. In the NFC they play the NFC West, and like that's a media an average division, I would say, because you got the Cardinals, but you also have the 49ers. But you look at like the teams like the Ravens or the Browns or the Steelers, like there is opportunity, I think, for these AFC North teams to end up racking up surprising records. One of the reasons why we think the Easts are so good is because they had easy schedules last year. Like, to me, the Patriots were not an 8-win team last year. Did they even win 8, or did they only get the 7? Either way, their schedule helped. And the Jets, especially, you know, against all those backup quarters, their schedule helped artificially inflate that division just a bit. But I'm not worried about the Jets being stinkers.
But there probably will, between especially
stinkers, knowing, would be like they're 8-7 going into week 17 for
the, I which could would be see, the Cleveland Browns on Thursday Night Football. Wouldn't that be juicy?
The Jets and Dolphins. Jets fans don't want to say it. Dolphins fans don't want to say it. One of them will probably flop. Probably
the Dolphins.
Yeah,
it's all like we said, it's really hard to know, but early in the season, that Dolphins having at Chargers or at Patriots. I hate starting on the road for 2 games, first of all. You have at Bills week 4, so at Eagles week 7. So that's 4 very difficult road games, and the Chiefs in Frankfurt all before your bye. Like, I'm looking at that, and there's a couple easier games, home games to the, you know, the Broncos, Giants, Panthers. It's like, if you're 5-4 looking at that schedule, I'd feel fine. Like, and that's the thing. There's such high expectations, but 5-4 might not feel that great.
Let's take a break and then wrap up our schedule preview.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools.
From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
All right, welcome back. There's a portion of, again, the NFL media research team. You know, bring it on, Bristol, whatever your research group is.
Right.
What was the one that always used to get brought up for decades? Elias, whatever.
Elias Sports Bureau?
Come try us, Elias. Because we got NFL media research.
Are they still operating as a bureau at this point?
I don't know. We probably swallowed them up in some corporate super merger.
There you go.
A lot of blood spilled. Schedule inequities.
It's still a leader in historical research and
services, right.
In the world of professional sports.
Elias, I love Elias. That's been a huge part of my
I mean, they are literally the official statisticians for the National Football League.
Shut up, Greg.
The NBA and Major League Baseball. Have you ever heard of it?
Duh. Winning. Elias.
So they're still doing well. Shout out to Elias. Love you, man.
What they did, they had cornered the market.
I don't know.
Elias cornered the market for about 20 years, where anytime any historical thing was cited, they said, oh, according to the Elias Sports Bureau, I think it was called. And since then, a lot of leagues have built out their own research groups.
Yeah.
But as Greg, as representative for the company, points out, we still here, dog. We still here.
Hey, Elias. Love you, brother.
Are you trying to get a job? Schedule inequities is within our research packet here, which I like. So five teams will have three-game road trips during the 2023 season. That's rough. Back-to-back-to-back road games is rough. Mm-hmm. The Ravens, 4-6, get Cleveland, Pitt, Tennessee. That's in Tottenham in England. The Giants, weeks 9-11, get Vegas, Dallas, Washington. The Titans, 9-11, get Pitt, Tampa Bay, Jacksonville. The Panthers, 12-14, get Tennessee, Tampa Bay, New Orleans. And the Broncos, 13-15, get Houston, Chargers, Detroit. I want to point out also, when those teams I just read, you'll notice how much work goes into these schedules, that the schedule makers will say, okay, if we're going to bang these teams, they get three road games, we're going to make sure we don't give them three monster contenders in a row. There's going to be some breathing room in there. Like, not everything is thought through, but sometimes teams still get banged a little bit the way it works out. And four teams start with back-to-back home games, which is very nice. Broncos have Raiders, Commanders, Falcons, who I think should be in the running for team of
Falcons in general, their schedule is favorable.
How about the Falcons getting out of the gates against the Panthers and the Packers without Aaron Rodgers? Interesting. The Patriots, Greggy, open back-to-back home games, but they ain't easy. Eagles, Dolphins, and Steelers get Niners versus Cleveland. Back-to-back road games for Packers, Raiders, Dolphins, and Niners.
I think, and you mentioned the Falcons having that nice start. That division to me, and I mentioned the AFC North, but even more than the AFC North, there will be opportunity for those NFC South teams, for one of them to win 10 or 11 games, even when they're not very good. I think they have all of them combined have the easiest schedules in the league because A, they get to play each other. That's nice. B, you get to play the AFC South. I'll take it. And then you play the NFC North. So there are no world beaters in all of that. I feel like that entire team, I'm doing projected starters now, that entire division. I know the Bucs are quite a bit behind in terms of Vegas, in terms of the odds, but the other three teams are close. Like, all those teams are good enough and probably should win 6-7 games, and they're just hoping they get a few breaks to win 9 or 10. And I feel like that describes the entire division. Someone's going to end up like being one of the stories of the season, winning 11, just because the schedule's too easy.
Yeah, just to drill down like a little bit, like the Saints. So they have 7 of their first 11 games on the road. Yet those games are like Carolina, Green Bay, New England, Houston, Indianapolis, Minnesota, Atlanta. That's serviceable. And the Panthers don't cross more than a single time zone after week three. So some of it is like they are clumped together regionally in a way where like you're not some of these teams are traveling insane amounts. Others barely seem to leave home.
Although, yeah, matters. That always, I always see the teams make a big deal about the time zones and the traveling. And I get it, but it's like,
out of the numbers, the numbers show
you're like, in a private jet. It's once a week. I guess I'm partly thinking as a tennis fan. It's like Anna Kalinskaya's got to play in India on Sunday, and then she's on the west coast of America on Tuesday. No one's crying for her. She's not in any private jet. And if these tennis players can handle it, I'm just saying.
Yeah,
they're like going jet. Like 11 time zones week to week, and I'm sure it's not helping them.
Go look at like the
probably business class.
Look at the numbers on a west coast team starting at 1 p.m. Eastern. Like they're horrible.
I was going to get to the Thursday night schedule, which is always compelling because it's a source of great intrigue and consternation for some. Did you guys have any other teams you wanted to highlight before we head there?
Just two little things on the Super Bowl teams from a year ago, because I think they're both well positioned to be favorites again. I noticed how the NFL ended the Chiefs season with Bengals on New Year's Eve. To me, that's like the number one rivalry and the number one most important game if I had to pick one in the entire schedule, just because, look, they've been the last two AFC championship games. We know the quarterbacks. They've played these great games. That's week 17, and then the Chiefs go from Bengals week 17 to at Chargers week 18. That's just like a spicy finish. I feel like it's the Chargers' number one goal here to make that game matter and still be in it. And then I noticed with the Eagles, who on paper, in terms of strength of schedule, just opponents' winning percentage, have the toughest schedule, and it's brutal after their bye. It starts pretty cake for them to start out with a nice schedule at New England, then Minnesota, at Tampa, Washington, at Rams. So I feel like a soft start for them, and then maybe the toughest stretch of anyone's season on paper in the middle of the season. Cowboys, Chiefs, Bills, 49ers, at Cowboys, at Seahawks, if you want to throw that into that. That is crazy. So the Eagles got to eat early to set up for that.
I got one for you because I think we think the Falcons can make a leap based on their schedule. The Bears. It's hard not to make a leap. They had the fewest amount of wins in the league last year, but they play only four playoff teams. And for all these, how many playoff teams? One of them is the Bucs, with it minus Tom Brady. Different situation. They get Jordan Love in his second career start. They get either Baker Mayfield or Kyle Trask in week two. Week five, it's going to be Sam Howell or Jacoby Brissett. So I think it's a good situation for Chicago. Their schedule, I think the North is manageable. You could look at the Lions or the Bears as teams that could compete. I think the Packers have a chance. Anyone could win that division. I mean, it's sort of a wide-open deal. And the Bears with, you know, if you get it from Justin Fields, who has a, if he went and had one of those big leaps, which I think is very possible, they're a team that could, like, go from worst to first.
They're the Jaguars of this year.
Yeah.
If their young quarterback can take that step up. And everything's lined up for them. What were they, 3-14 last year? They could be a team that all of a sudden – they're in playoff contention in the middle of December. Mm-hmm. And it helps that the conference is what it is. It helps.
They're actually favored right now compared to the Packers. They're the third favorites in the division. It's the division that's most closely bunched. Lions are favorites, Vikings next, Bears next, and Packers not too far behind. But they're all pretty...
Yeah, Vikings fans
hate. I'm a little surprised that the Packers are... I would not put them fourth. I'd put them second.
I mean, the Lions fans, it must be a little bit uncomfortable for people just penciling them in to be like, oh, this feels like the favorite. That feels ominous for whatever reason. And it might feel especially ominous after you have to go to Arrowhead in week one. Friday morning hot takes could be spewing.
Bit of a wake-up call.
Thursday night football. And Al Michaels, legend that he is back for another season. He said in an interview last year, and I talked about it when he did it, that the Thursday night football schedule was, quote, a little leaky. And this is a major partnership between the NFL and Amazon. And for instance, Mark, and we're still excited to hear about your Black Friday plans, by the way.
I don't have any now.
I think a big part of that game showing up, even first of all, it makes sense logically as a football fan, not even factoring the Jets, a noon start on the West Coast on the Friday after Thanksgiving. Nice division battle. Pencil me in. It also gave Amazon another bite at the apple.
That's also maybe their best, one of the best games on their schedule.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't surprise me if that's the most, you know, streamed game of all time, just because that's essentially going to be a holiday right in the middle of the day.
Let's see where we are with those teams. There were 12. I love saying it now.
I think you do love saying it, Mark.
But I'm saying, like, the Lions playing the worst team in the league is
the Jets are 3-9. Like, I mean, like,
I'm just saying it's the most watched.
I love saying it. I know the Jets could be bad, Mark. It's certainly.
I am.
You have stated that.
I am rooting for the Jets to be successful.
I know you are. I know you are.
I love it.
Clearly, Thursday Night Football Week 2, the Vikings, Eagles start things off. Week 3, Giants, Niners. I'm just gonna go for it. Go through it. Lions, Packers, Week 4. Bears, Commanders, 5. Broncos, Chiefs, 6. Jags, Saints, 7. Bucks, Bills, Titans, Steelers, Panthers, Bears, Bengals, Ravens, Dolphins, Jets, Black Friday, Seahawks, Cowboys, Patriots, Steelers, Chargers, Raiders, Saints, Rams, Jets, Browns.
It's good. It's still, though, including teams that aren't getting much primetime elsewhere. Just put it that way.
Still serving as that, yes.
Mm-hmm. Saints are there twice. Do they have any other primetime games? You know, the Broncos have been downshifted quite a bit in terms of their primetime appearances. I'm pretty sure that's got to be the Bucs' only spot. But the good thing about this schedule is they didn't have to force primetime games this year as much. The Cardinals, for instance, are not in primetime at all. I would be curious to see the Colts and Texans in primetime because of their rookie quarterbacks and because I'm a dork, but those teams aren't really getting primetime love. The Colts get it zero for Anthony Richardson. Same thing with the Texans. And so normally that might have been put into this TNF schedule, and they're not there, and so overall it's better.
I think the thing that worries me about it a little bit, because there are some good matchups in here.
Seahawks, like, Cowboys is really good. Jets, Dolphins, obviously.
You got the Rams in Week 16. Why? Like, from what we know
to
about the Rams
today.
To get
me to a game, what did we talk
well,
about?
Right,
that's my
beyond
only
your,
chance.
Beyond your
I'm there.
Interest,
if like, you're listening to me and you work for the Rams, hook us
did
up.
Did you say self-interest or selfish interests?
It has nothing to do with the larger population, just simply Greg's.
You got to give the 2021 champions one primetime game. Come on.
Tennessee Titans, Week 9. I mean, we'll see. It's just that
Greg's
some of these are fine now, but like they could be a odorous problem by then.
You know what? They could wait, they can't flex the TNF. They wanted to flex late season TNF, but that's not happening, at least not at this point.
You know, I get that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
I can't anymore.
Yeah.
I know. It's enough schedule anymore. Talk.
Anything left to say?
We took it to the max.
We did it. We did it for the listeners. I did miss this week, and as you mentioned at the top, yeah, you can check our socials. You do miss connecting with the listeners about football. We just love we love our connection with it, and it doesn't feel right when that's ruptured. But that's why we do it. We do it for each other. We do it for the listeners. So it's good to be back, even if it's one of the sillier shows of the season.
I thought it was very serious and taken very seriously, Greg.
I mean, it's just, it's all football. So I guess it's never too serious.
Yes. A very tough week. We are not strangers to adversity, not of our own invention. And we always carry on this podcast. There are no reverse gears in this tank. You guys know that. I'll just add again. Give us time to get things rolling.
Now we just got to come up with what we're talking about for the next 2 or 3 months.
Oh, that.
I'm sure we will.
All right, everybody, have a nice weekend. We'll be back next week. Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, Green Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.